Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Political reaction to the shooting in Orlando has been rippling across the country. Within hours of the news of the attack, the presidential candidates had responded. Donald Trump took to Twitter, writing that he appreciates the congrats for being right about radical Islamic terrorism. Quote, but I don't want congrats. I want toughness and vigilance. We have to be smart. Hillary Clinton issued a statement calling Orlando an act of terror, and she went on to say this was also an act of hate to the LGBT community. People know that you have millions of allies across the country. I am one of them. Bernie Sanders tweeted that all Americans are horrified, disgusted, and saddened by the horrific atrocity in Orlando. Florida Governor Rick Scott was one of the first people to explicitly call the Orlando shooting an act of terror.
You just can't imagine this would happen to our community, our state, or anywhere in our country. But for somebody to go in there and be an active shooter and take those men, that number of lives, any life, but that number of lives and injure that many people is clearly an act of terror.
That's the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, speaking at a news conference early yesterday. At the same time, Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor of Texas, tweeted after news of the shooting a Bible quote that read in part, "You reap what you sow." That tweet was deleted. Matt Dixon, a senior reporter for Political Florida. He joins me now from Tallahassee. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We'll get to the candidates, but we've been talking about this remarkable polarization, according to political camp, that seems to be going on now. Is this a symptom of the election season or a sign of just how divided the country and voters are over all of the issues that are tied up in the Orlando shooting here?
I mean, if this event was in a silo, if it was by itself, I think maybe we could look at it that way. But sadly, it isn't. We've gone through these events time and time again in election cycles, outside of election cycles, there's always sort of both camps are at the end zone, and not a lot of people are on the 50-yard line as far as the idea of where they come down and the wake of tragedies like this. So I don't know that it's a symptom of an election cycle, because we can be in an off year, one of these terrible events happens, and sort of the same dynamic comes out depending on which side of the argument you're on.
Hillary Clinton, let's get to the candidates a little bit. Hillary Clinton had a fairly typical and comprehensive response. I dare call it an attempt, of course, to display presidential demeanor, call it a horrible tragedy. We have to redouble our efforts against terror, work with our partners, also acknowledging that it was an attack on the LGBT community. She kind of hit all the points there as a presidential candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. And she did what you would expect a Democrat presidential candidate to do. She did sound very presidential outside of party politics, but she also did talk about the need to keep guns like the ones used last night out of the hands of terrorists. So she also did sort of take up the baton of those who think there should be Congress should pass reform legislation and take a look at reforming the nation's gun laws. So she, I guess, tried to toe the line between being presidential and sort of taking that leadership mantle, but also spoke to those who want to see reform.
So if Hillary Clinton's response was calibrated and measured and presidential and all those things you do at the national level, Donald Trump spent the day on Twitter with a pretty different footing.
He did. Donald Trump has become the presumptive Republican nominee, being Donald Trump. And I think yesterday was just another example of that. He doesn't necessarily follow the politics 101 playbook that everyone reads in civics class. It has worked for him thus far, and apparently he has made the decision that sort of regardless of whatever he's reacting to sort of maintain that strategy. And he clearly did yesterday by he got the most attention of anyone by sort of taking credit for it and then continuing with a Twitter rant, as Donald Trump does.
It's at Mac Disson. Let's talk about that, because it seems to me that Donald Trump may have made a critical error in his Twitter activity yesterday, and not just being Donald Trump or making it about him, which people are getting used to. Donald Trump said that he was right about the Muslim ban, that he wants to ban Muslim immigrants, and that this proves why. Now, apart from the fact that the assailant was born in New York, was an American citizen, Donald Trump may have created a problem for himself. He is alone on this issue. Republicans do not support in general the idea of the Muslim ban, and that means that he's going to be out on his own as this attack dominates the news for the next week.
Well, I would say Republican leaders don't, but he consistently got roughly 40% of the Republican electorate. So I think what he's trying to carve out is the fact he's trying to say, you know, this is my Republican Party now. I am your nominee. This is a policy I stand for, and he's not backing down from that. And the idea that those of a kind of the Washington cut of Republican don't necessarily agree with him doesn't seem to it hasn't fazed him in the past, and he doesn't seem to be changing that strategy, that perception. So I think a lot of people are going to see that as a gaffe and kind of look at it through that traditional lens. But there's been nothing traditional about Donald Trump, and he can time and time again to point to the scoreboard, and he's going to be their general election nominee. And, you know, I think he certainly knows that.
At the same time, the country is going to spend a week or more talking about this shooting, and rightfully so, making it impossible for Republicans in Washington to join Donald Trump on the reaction to this shooting. Also might have the opposite effect, which could cause them to even more strongly back away, or he doesn't care about that either.
Well, I'm not sure that he does or not. It's certainly going to make it more difficult, you know, for the Paul Ryans of the world to get behind him, who certainly don't ideologically align with him to begin with. But, you know, as we've seen time and time again, sadly, that events like these, you know, is prominent as they are, and as much as we focus on them in the wake of, they eventually kind of disappear until the next one. And, you know, that very well could be the case again. And then we'll, you know, move on to the general election. It certainly happened with Paris and some of the other ones where they were very, very prominent in the days after. And then, you know, it sort of didn't disappear completely, but, you know, wasn't the prominent focus.
Matt Dixon is with Politico Florida, joins us from Tallahassee with a view from Florida on the national political scene in the aftermath of the Orlando shooting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.